will continue the story of that young boy tomorrow in the second hour of the program, maybe even the first hour of the program. The reason that story is really interesting is this young boy is not some random kid. Yeah, I know he's only 15 years old. He himself was kidnapped by Boko Haram. He was forced to live among them. He only escaped Boko Haram with them firing at him, trying to kill him, when they sent him to kill his own father. And he escaped in the process. He is remarkable young boy. He's quite a story to tell. It's a story that today's politicians, academicians, don't want you to know. It's a story the media won't tell you. It's a story that is essential for us to know because it exposes what Islam actually does to an individual. What I want to do now is continue our investigation of Paul. And I realize that we have just begun, and that apart from four derogatory statements that Paul has made thus far, where he refers to the Torah as a curse, as something abhorrent and repugnant and malicious, as something that is incapable of saving, that we have not yet validated our assertion that Paul claimed to have destroyed and discarded the Torah after dissolving and dismantling it. So while we will cover all of this in great detail, suffice it to say for now, in this recap of Pauline doctrine, consider this. Having come to realize without investigation or evidence that by no means whatsoever is made righteous or is vindicated a man out of acting upon the Torah, if not by faith in Iesu Christu, and we to Christon Iuson ourselves believed in order for us to be acquitted out of faith in Christu and not out of acting upon the Torah. Because out of works of the Torah, not any flesh shall be acquitted, shall be vindicated or made righteous. Now, I know that's poorly written, folks, and we're going to go on and there's more to share. But he just said, out of works of the Torah, out of acting upon the Torah, no one can be acquitted. No one can be vindicated. No one can be made righteous. His view, of course, is the antithesis of Yahusha and the antithesis of Yahweh. Because if that which I have actually torn down, which I have dissolved and I have dismantled, invalidating, abolishing, and abrogating, which I have completely destroyed, if this, on the other hand, I restore or reconstruct, strengthening and promoting this edifice, I myself bring into existence and recommend transgression and disobedience. This is Galatians 2:18. 2:17 and 18, actually. Think about that, folks. Paul is saying that he tore down the Torah and that he himself could have, but chose not to reestablish the Torah. Think of the arrogance of that. If you're a Christian, you ought to be shaking in your shoes right at the moment. I then, because of the Torah, actually died and was separated in order that to God I might currently live in Christu. I have actually been crucified together with. Imagine the arrogance of that statement. That Paul claims that he was there with him. Oh, that he too is the founder of the Christian religion, this faith that he was conceiving and articulating, that he was right there on the cross. I too have been crucified. Yeah, he will actually say that his suffering completed the work that his Christu could not accomplish on his own. That, yeah, God needed him to complete the sacrifice. And he said that he died to the Torah. The Torah killed him. That's what he says. Now, God says the Torah is the source of life, but according to Paul, the Torah killed him. O ignorant and irrational, foolish and senseless, unintelligent and unreasonable Galatians, to whom you bewitched, deceived, and slandered. Yes, he's calling the Galatians, the Galatians, stupid. Actually, he was calling them stupid because they rejected Paul, which makes them smart. To whom you bewitched, deceived, and slandered. This alone I want to learn from you. Out of accomplishments of the Torah, the spirit you received, or alternately, or alternatively, out of hearing of belief. That's his question. Was it out of accomplishments of the Torah that the spirit you received, or alternatively, out of hearing and belief? If you receive the spirit out of belief, that spirit is not of God. The spirit would be associated with Hasatan and his fellow demons. If you received a spirit out of what was accomplished through the Torah, then that spirit is the set-apart spirit. That spirit is of God. But Paul wants you to believe just the opposite. In this way, he said, you are irrational. You're ignorant, lacking in knowledge and unable to think logically. Having begun with spirit, now in flesh, you are completing. Paul was a, this is 3:3, by the way, Galatians 3:3. Paul was a Gnostic. And as a Gnostic, he constantly promoted this myth that the flesh was bad and the spirit was good. God doesn't call the flesh bad. God created the flesh. And spirits aren't necessarily good. Most spirits, in fact, that are willing to possess humans are bad. But it was a Gnostic belief system that was very popular with Greeks, and so Paul promoted it to sell his religion to Gnostic Greeks. So much and so long these things you suffered, you were afflicted and you were vexed and annoyed without reason or result, even chaotically, without a plan. If indeed also thoughtlessly and for nothing, without cause, reason, or result. No one, therefore, then, supplying you the Spirit and causing to function and operate powers in you out of acting upon and engaging in the text delineated in the Torah or out of hearing faith. Now, I realize that did not read intelligently. That's not my fault. I would acknowledge that I am not the best reciter in amongst humanity. But that's the way he wrote it. I'm not going to pretty it up. I'm not going to do what the New Living Translation or the King James did to try to elevate Paul's writing so it sounds like he was literate. I'm not going to do that favor for him. I'm going to share it with you as he wrote it. Indeed, consequently, the Torah, accordingly, is against and contrary to the promise of God. Not may it be. Now, this is the term that he used in Greek is, it might be, although I don't want it to be. For if, perchance, had been given the Torah the power and ability, the capacity and resources to impart life, certainly the Torah would be the righteous and vindicated. To the contrary, emphatically and certainly, written scripture imposed restrictions, completely shutting the door on heaven, imposing everything under error and evil, in order that the promise of the faith of Iesu Christu might be given to believers. Yep. Paul just said that the Torah is contrary to the promise of God. And yet the Torah contains God's promise. The statement, of course, is completely irrational. Paul is, therefore, guilty of the very thing that he was accusing his audience of being. Irrational. The statement is wholly irrational. It is not only untrue, it cannot be true. And then he goes on to say that the Torah does not have the capacity to impart life. That there are no one, there's no one who is righteous and vindicated in the Torah. Which would mean that Moshe would be in hell. That would mean that Noah would be in hell. That would mean that Adam and Chawa would be in hell. That means that Dode, the person that Yahweh called righteous, the guy that he said was vindicated, the one that he loved, the one that he's going to model his kingdom after when he returns to earth in just now a matter of, 19 years, that all of them are in hell. Yahweh's prophets would be in hell, according to Paul. According to Paul, the Torah condemned them all, and that it's only faith that can redeem them. So knowledge and understanding are meaningless. Belief in the unknown is the essence of salvation. Now, even think if you were to project this and said he was talking about faith in Iesu Christu. But the individual that he's spoken of was given a Greek name, was given a Greek title, was modeled after the Greek god Dionysus, that all manner of myth was attributed to him. There isn't a Christian on the planet that knows who he is, that knows what he said, that knows what he did. And so what is faith in a caricature that is born and bred of myth going to do you? What good is that? But before the come of the faith, under the control of the Torah, we were actually being held as in custody as prisoners, restricted and trapped like fish in a net, to the bringing about of faith was revealed. This positions, this is 3:23, by the way, of Galatians. This positions the Torah as an enslaving document, as a trap. And that means that the God who conceived it is malicious, that he is a hunter of souls, that his goal is to ensnare everyone in his trap. And since he authored his Torah, and he claimed that his Torah was the source of salvation, he is incompetent, he is impotent, he is a liar, according to Paul. Paul would go on to write, as a result, the Torah has come to exist as our disciplinarian, as a pedagogue, which instructs in a particularly pedantic and dogmatic manner, using strict old-fashioned methods with an overbearing demeanor by smiting and stinging those it enslaves, extending until Christu, in order by means of faith or a belief system, we might at some point in time, while doing nothing ourselves, be justified, with the possibility of someday being vindicated as a result of being influenced. But now, having come the faith-based system of belief, no longer do we exist under the old-fashioned and strict disciplinarian, whose methods are antiquated and overbearing, even harsh. Beyond the fact that the Torah isn't a disciplinarian, beyond the fact that Torah means nothing more than teaching, beyond the fact that the Torah is Yahweh's teaching, beyond the fact that Yahweh is our Father, is guiding us through his Torah teaching, and that to say any of this is demeaning to his role as the father of the covenant children. But beyond all of that, Paul has just stated that the Torah only existed until the arrival of faith. That is the basis of Christianity. Full stop. It is the basis of Christianity. The Torah existed until the arrival of the Christian faith. But what did Yahusha say? When he walked up that hill and began to deliver his first public address, he said, "Don't think that I have come to do away with the Torah. Don't think that for a moment. I haven't." He said that even the jots and the tittles, the smallest letter and the smallest strokes of the Hebrew letters comprising the Torah, would continue to be full effect until every promise in it was fulfilled and so long as the heavens and earth exist. His statement was the opposite of Paul's. The statement Paul made is the basis of Christianity, that the Torah has been annulled, it is done away with, it was incapable of saving, it was mean, it was harsh, it was antiquated, and now it's been replaced by faith. It's the basis of Christian religion. Yosha said exactly the opposite. Yahweh, the very God that Paul claims inspired him, said just the opposite. Under that basis, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely impossible that Paul told the truth. It is absolutely impossible that the basis of Christianity is reliable. As a result, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is nothing but false hope. And rather than being mean to demean the religion, it would be mean to tolerate it. It isn't loving to allow billions of people to place their hope in something that is not true. It really is as simple as that. Well, this was a literal translation, which I just shared with you. Word for word, as the text of Galatians actually reads in Greek. Something that will be conclusively demonstrated in due time as we move through this letter. So I understand that what I read sounds coarse. It sounds disjointed. It sounds poorly written. And that's because it is. But if you look beyond the sorry prose for a moment and consider the content, there is no mistaking the fact that Paul is claiming that he has invalidated and destroyed the Torah because he views God's testimony as inept, as incompetent, as ineffective, and as old-fashioned, as mean-spirited and enslaving. He is also claiming to have replaced the arcane and impotent Torah with faith, with the faith of Iesu Christu, which is now wholly subject to suspect, I should say, due to the testimony of this individual. By the way, Iesu Christu didn't have a faith. He never expressed faith. Never declared a faith, never expressed a faith. This idea that there was a faith of Iesu Christu, of Jesus Christ, is a non-starter. It did not exist. He never articulated a faith. He never promoted a belief system. He did not establish a religion. Nothing could be further from the truth. The only faith being promoted is the one conceived by Paul to resolve his animosity with the Torah of Yahweh. It's Paul v. Yahweh, indirectly incriminating Shaul, known as Christian, two Christians as Paul, a man who not only dismissed the Torah, but who also claimed to be a rabbi and a Pharisee, in addition to being a religious expert, scholar, and writer. Please consider what Yosha said next in his Sermon on the Mount. "For indeed, I say to you all, that unless conditionally your righteousness, your integrity, your standing in the relationship is substantially superior to and eminently more appropriate than the religious teachers, experts, scribes, and scholars, and the Pharisees, you will absolutely never move into or experience the realm of the heavens." Matthew 5:20. Since we are still in the infancy of our study, it would be a bit presumptuous to conclude that Paul's overall intent was to foreclose the Torah in order to promote his new faith, although that will become obvious in due time. And yet the translations of the Galatians passages we have considered suggest that the Christian theologians are justified in their interpretation of Paul's message when they cite this letter as evidence that he believed that the Torah was an outdated and restricted burden which had to be replaced with a much simpler and much more accommodating approach, faith. But why is it that not one Christian scholar has the character, the courage, or the intellectual integrity to say that Paul's position, if Christians have interpreted correctly, is diametrically opposed to Yahusha's testimony on life and on the Torah, as well as in direct conflict with the Word of God? Speaking to those who are willing to invest the time required to actually know Yahweh, to those who actually seek to learn the truth, to those willing to engage in the process which leads to admission into God's home through the covenant, Yahusha provided a set of instructions which completely undermine the ignorance associated with blind faith. He said, and this is still in the same public presentation, this instruction on the mount, you should ask, and it will be given to you. You should seek, and you will actually receive the discovery. By the way, seek has been translated as ZTO. At the present time, it is desirable for everyone to act on their own initiative to attempt to find information, searching for knowledge and answers. Now, it's really important here, folks, since the Pope didn't seem to understand this. Yahusha was speaking Hebrew. There was one eyewitness account that was written in Hebrew that would have had his words as he actually spoke them. But rabbis despise the Hebrew eyewitness accounts of Yahusha's words and deeds as they were chronicled by Matanyahu. Matanyahu is Matthew. It was a book originally written in Hebrew. Unfortunately, all we have is Greek translations of it. He did not speak Greek. He did not speak Latin. And at this moment, he was not speaking Aramaic. But here he's saying, you should search for the information. You should earnestly request knowledge and answers. Seeking to find knowledge and answers to your question, and then you'll receive what you're requesting. That's pretty devastating to the concept of faith where there are no known answers. You should knock, and it will be opened to you. You know, the doorway he's talking about, of course, is Passover. For then, universally, the one asking, without exception, the individual actively engaging in the process of learning is transformed and receives. The one seeking actually finds, and the one knocking, it will be opened. 7:8. This is wholly inconsistent with, I should say, this is wholly consistent with Yahweh's Torah guidance, where God constantly encourages us to be observant, which is to closely examine and carefully consider his instructions, where God encourages us to Shema, listen to him, especially to the provisions associated with the covenant, to listen to his prescriptions for living, so we can act upon what we discover and thereby come to be invited into his home. That's God's instructions. They are identical to what Yahusha has just said. They are, however, the inverse of what Paul is preaching. You see, Paul's proposition is that salvation is through faith. It is through not knowing. Because if you know, there is no faith. No faith required. Faith bridges the gap when you do not know. Belief is for those who do not understand. Yahweh and Yahusha are saying, go on the voyage of discovery. Seek the information. Desire to know. And you will know. And then once you know, you'll be allowed in. You know, with faith, The process and the response are unnecessary, even counterproductive. You know, faith is often destroyed by knowledge. Religions are destroyed by information, by reasoning. God's next statement is also hostile to Christianity because Yahusha is directing our attention not to himself, but instead to Yahweh, to our Heavenly Father, and to the Father's gift, which is found in the Torah. But beyond this, by juxtaposing these thoughts, Yahusha is also revealing where we should look to find the door and where we should go to discover acceptance. He is even contrasting the merits of Yahweh's testimony, his offer and promises, and the statements and promises of a man. I wonder who that man might be. He is saying this in hopes that we will accept Yahweh's salvation promises instead of the promises promoted by a man. And that man almost certainly would be Paul. Should you be considering an alternative? What man currently exists from among you, whom when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or should you be considering an alternative, when he asks for a fish, will hand him a snake? If therefore you all presently being troublesome and morally corrupt, have in the past been familiar with and have actually known how to give good and beneficial gifts to your children, how much more by contrast will your Father, the one in the heavens, actually give something good, moral, generous, and beneficial to those seeking him? Matanyah 7:11. Yahweh only offers his promise and his gift in one place. That would be the Torah. Yahusha is calling it good because Yahweh calls it good. Yahusha is referring it to the Torah as a gift, not as a burden. His presentation of what the Father is offering is the antithesis of what Paul has said. So Apollos is offering the gift of faith, and Yahweh is offering the gift of the covenant. Which offer do you suppose might be more beneficial and capable, more generous and more substantial? And since this follows a presentation on asking and seeking, do you suppose that Yahusha is indicating where we ought to look to find something which is reliably good, valuable, and kind? And since his answers to these questions are obvious, why do Christians who claim that their religion is based upon Yahusha ignore the obvious and turn to Paul instead? In light of this, how did Shaul manage to convince them that the Torah is anything other than good, generous, capable, and beneficial? Yahusha went on to say, anything, therefore, to whatever degree or extent you might want or may, as a result of men being human, doing to you, also in this way, you should choose to actively do to them. This then, actually and presently, is the Torah and the prophets. Matanyah 7:12. The moral is here is that since we don't want to be given a millstone, a premature burial, or a poisonous snake, a serpent representing Satan, given to us by men or by their institutions, and would be vastly better served with Yahweh's good, generous, and beneficial gift, we ought to offer our fellow man access to God's gift, providing them with that same valuable and kind offer found in our Heavenly Father's Torah. Since context, my friends, is the mother's milk of understanding, remember that Yahusha has been encouraging us to knock at a certain door, seeking admission. He has spoken of our Heavenly Father's gift being especially valuable. He has deliberately and decisively associated this especially good and generous gift with Yahweh's Torah and prophets. Cognizant of this context, and especially noting the realization that the last statement is as appropriate used in a conclusion to the discussion regarding the relative value of man's offers compared to God's, as it is in introducing the narrow doorway which leads to life, and therefore speaking of Passover. Let's repeat that conclusion now as an introduction. This then actually and presently is the Torah and the prophets. Under the auspices of free will, you should choose at some point in time to enter, personally engaging by moving through the narrow, specific, seldom tread, and exacting door. Because broad, man-made, and crafted to be wide open is the door, and spacious is the way, which leads and misleads, and which separates into utter destruction. And many there are who are influenced into moving that direction. We'll be back in a moment. Yahusha said, and we should listen. This, then, actually is the Torah and the prophets. Under the auspices of free will, you should choose at some point in time to enter, personally engaging by moving through the narrow, specific, seldom tread, and exacting door. Because broad, man-made, and crafted to be wide open is the door, and spacious is the way, which misleads and separates into utter destruction. And a great many are those who are influenced into moving while suffering the consequences of entering through it. Certainly, the specific doorway has strict requirements. It is narrow, seldom tread, and it is an exacting passageway. And it completely goes against the crowd to the point of persecution. The one way which leads, separating those guided unto life. But very few are those finding it. This may be the single most devastating declaration ever made against religion. The one thing religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, socialist humanism have in common is that they are very popular. A great many people have placed their faith in them, ranging from tens of millions to many billions. But Yahusha, the diminished manifestation of Yahweh, just said that the popular ways are not only artificial and man-made, but that they lead to destruction, needlessly squandering countless souls. And while this statement is therefore catastrophic to Hinduism, to Buddhism, to Judaism, to Islam, and to socialist humanism, when Yahusha's divine credentials are established, there is no out for Christianity. Based upon this declaration alone, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, the moment Constantine and Theodosius made the Christian religion the official religion of the Roman Empire, there was no longer any hope that it could be the path to life. It must therefore be one of the many ways which lead to destruction. Folks, if you're a Christian and you contemplate what we have just read, it's over. It's impossible that the most popular religion on the planet can be the path to life. Now, it's one thing to demonstrate that Christianity is false, which this does, from an unassailable source, in an unassailable document. There's no way around it. But that's one issue. The other issue is, What was he talking about when he said there was a narrow, restrictive way that very few find? Well, Yahweh etched in stone that thousands would achieve his mercy by observing, closely examining, and carefully considering the terms of his covenant, which is found only in the Torah. Thousands amongst billions is one in a million. That would be narrow, wouldn't it? In that same Torah, Yahweh articulates five requirements, very specific for participating in that covenant. And it's only the covenant's children that are saved. So therein is the answer to the question. Religions all lead away from God. They are the path to destruction. All of them. And that the narrow, restrictive path to life is found in the Torah's presentation of the covenant. There's no getting around it, folks. That's the truth. If you care about your soul, if you care about the souls of your children, share that with them. Leave the religion of Christianity. Leave the religion of Judaism. Leave the religion of Islam. Abandon the agenda of socialist humanism. Study the Torah. Do as God has encouraged you to do. Be observant. Closely examine and carefully consider, in particular, the terms and conditions of the covenant. They're all presented for you in the first book of the Torah, in Bereshith Genesis. Read the story of Yahweh and Abraham. And once you come to understand what God is offering, respond to Him. It'll be the best decision you ever made.